You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Susan Leopold. She's an artist represented by Elizabeth Harris Gallery in New York City. And she currently has a show up at Elizabeth Harris that's running through the 28th. Thanks so much for being with us today, Susan.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
So congratulations on your show at Elizabeth Harris. First, I want to hear about that show, and I want to talk about that, but how long have you been represented by that gallery?
It's my third show there. I forget the exact year I started showing, so probably about 6 years ago I've been showing with her, and it's been a really great opportunity. Before that, I showed with John Weber Gallery for many years, and then he ended up moving out of the city and closing his gallery. And then he passed away several years ago. So I've showed for a long time in New York.
So tell us about this current show. Why it's so exciting and a little bit about it.
Well, it's funny. I mentioned John Weber because my first show at his gallery was in 86, and I built little dioramas inside boxes, and I've sort of come full circle where I'm building larger dioramas in boxes at Elizabeth Harris. It sort of brings back some of the language, the visual language and ideas of illusion that I was started with, you know, many years ago, and sort of really have pushed this idea of illusion and architectural space further. And I like to think of sort of the way I'm dealing with space and is Alfred Hitchcock meets Edward Hopper 3D. So they're very psychological. They deal with angles of architecture and sort of how humans feel inside of these different dwellings.
And how does this show depart from the one before that? Because you were also showing similar work before this, weren't you? Or that was...
Oh, well, you mean before I was showing work
before this
that was...
Show, yeah.
You mean this current show or the Weber show? The current show does not use lenses. For years, I was building boxes where you viewed the interiors through a lens that was about 3 inches. And then I sort of segued out of that, opening using larger lenses and then sort of removing the box that's still dealing with the illusion of space with photographs and mirrors. And then the last two shows, and especially this show, I'm using mirrors and photographs merged with the dioramas, architectural little, like, you know, 1-inch scale with the mirrors. And so the boxes are open. So the opening can be about 9 inches by 12 inches. And so you really see the space. You actually could stick your hand in. And the boxes themselves are 10 inches deep, maybe 18 by 15 inches. But as you peer into these spaces, you feel the mirrors make it look like they go beyond the boundaries of the box. And that's also what I'm establishing, is this illusion of continuous space outside of the box. So in a way, they're like theater spaces.
Well, because theater is so immersive, it strikes me that in your works, it's more as though the viewer is inhabiting this entire world, a kind of wonderland kind of thing. I don't know, when I see them, I think of, I want to feel myself in there somehow, you know, the way you do when you see or the way I do when I see certain kinds of dollhouses or very intricate dioramas. It's as though I am that scale or want to be.
Well, I think that's exactly right. The idea of inhabiting them is absolutely part of it, and it's that whole sense of the uncanny, like something, these small worlds you want to possess, you want to enter into them, but physically you can't. But your brain or your memory possesses them. And so I think it's the idea of possession, like I want to be there. And I also do not put figures in them. I want the person who's viewing them to inhabit the space. And I feel if I put a little miniature person, it would define the place too much. So I really want you to bring your own association to a space, your own memories, your own recollections. And then, and the other thing which I find that I just somehow do the way I build these things, I merge the photographs with the mirrors with the architecture, the miniature architectural space. And but your brain holds it together. So I'm really building space the way I would just pull it together. Somehow they all, it works together, even though I'm using these separate types of materials. And the photographs are actually photos of a diorama that I've built that has elements that are part of the space. So it's these different layers of illusion. So you're right. You do feel the sense of uncanny of wanting to go into them.
I don't know what that is. It feels almost like a not quite an archetype, but this sort of universal desire to want to inhabit another space that's physical. I mean, like you're saying, they are these architectural spaces. They're very real, but at the same time, we know we can't inhabit them. But that's part of the push and pull towards it, right? Wanting to be within it, but knowing that we're, it's impossible for us in some ways, except in this, in our mind or as we can kind of insert ourselves into it, right? I mean, it's so different than, for example, a picture with that kind of depth of field, you know, maybe you can see yourself in the image, but in this, I guess because of the architectural space, there's a sense of moving through it a little more.
Well, and also the actual fact that it's a three-dimensional thing, when you walk past it, they shift, the mirror shifts. In fact, if you stick your head a little bit closer in, you'll see an angle of a photograph that you couldn't see if you just looked at the photo straight. Like there's one piece that has a photo of a bed. It's a photo of a diorama, like a small-scale bed that I made. But then you see only one part of the bed from straight on, but then the mirror reflects the rest of it, so it does look like two different rooms. And I think that the what happens is your brain starts to piece it together as if it's one space, and the so when you walk away from the piece, you remember sort of way it's different than a photograph or a painting, because you've actually experienced several angles and aspects of one space through, different, shifting your perspective, shifting your gaze. And I don't really know, I just know it's very human. When I know my work is being successful, I see the people in front of it sort of swaying back and forth from one side to the other side as they, their perspective shifts. And I think we're all, you know, we live in dwellings where all light comes through windows. All these things are very archetypal. And we respond to that. So whether it's small scale or large scale, our brain sees the code. It's like some sort of code that we respond to. And that's sort of what I'm playing on, that kind of back and forth. It's illusion, but that you feel immersed in it at the same time.
That's very interesting. Let's move back to your earlier work. You're getting out of college, let's say. What was the work you were doing then, and what was your situation surrounding art?
I was very fortunate. I went to the School of Visual Arts for undergraduate, and it was actually before they had a graduate program. And then I was invited to be part of the show by the Women's Caucus for the Arts, and it was curated by Susan Solomons, and I was doing large-scale walk-in environments where I built these wooden structures, about 12 feet by 12 feet rooms, and I used slide projections, and the slides that I projected were of architectural spaces, so then they became fractured along the white, and then the white wood and the white walls were the, captured the projections, so they were still dealing with architecture and sort of influenced by Bachelard's Poetics of Space, I read at the time, and it really influenced me of talking about how architecture is archetypal. And then at that time, the people, you were part of the space because your shadows would be incorporated and you were walking to the space. And then I realized I wanted to make them more portable because you can't always install something large scale. So I sort of took the notion of reversing the slide projector and looking inside of it instead of having the space be projected. And I just remembered, I totally forgot, I built my slide projectors. They were little white boxes made out of wood, very, you know, sort of hammered together, handcrafted, not high-end looking, with just a regular light bulb. And I had these lenses. I had started using lenses back then to project the images, and then I, for just practical reasons, and then I just flipped the, instead of projecting it, I built the stuff on the inside of the box. And so that was the beginning of my making these boxes.
And that was right around that. So that was the SVA.
That was SVA 1982. So I'll give you the specific date. Yeah.
So then what happened? What happened after SVA? And you're starting to work in that way? Did you start showing right away or not?
Well, I was very, again, you know, it's fortunate things happen or they don't happen. But at that time, because Susan Sollins had invited me to be in the show, I was asked to donate a piece for one of their benefits. And I had then started building these small boxes. And John Weber went to this benefit, and he purchased the box and loved the work. And then he came to my studio and invited me to have a show. And that was my first show with him, I believe, was in 1986. And then I stayed with him for, you know, as many years as he was open. And that was really very a great opportunity. And I continued to do the boxes. And they evolved sort of different, you know, different types. Some of them I got quite large where I decorated the outsides and they were not so minimal. And I think he really liked the idea that they were, the earlier boxes were very minimal on the outside but very complicated on the inside. And sort of the shift between the two. And he really liked, had a lot of minimal and conceptual artists. So that I sort of fit into his, you know, he just really liked the work and I was lucky.
You were. That's amazing. Really, that's kind of right out of school. And then you were with him until you moved to Elizabeth Harris not long ago.
Right. Yeah.
And why?
So
why
I had
Elizabeth
a little.
Harris? She's a wonderful gallery. But what happened after Weber? Then you were in between for a little while.
I was in between for a little while. I was building new work, and then. The director Miles Manning invited. He said, "I'd like to." He wanted to see my new work. He wanted to see what I was working on. And then he actually had been the director of John Weber Gallery, way before I showed there. I forget when he was there. And so he had this. You know, he knew my work. And then I called him up, and I said, "Come to my studio." And it was again one of those very lucky things. I had a body of work ready to show, and an installation. Anyway, I had this body of work. They walked in. They loved the work. They just turned to me right then and there and said, "Do you want a show?" And they had a slot for, like, October. It was, like, a few months away. Because I had the work, I said, sure. And I liked the gallery. I liked the other artists in the gallery. I'd been, you know, gone to that gallery, you know, over the years while I was showing with Weber. So I knew her. I knew the gallery. And so, again, it was another one of those just, the timing was right. I was really lucky. And
that is lucky.
You know,
that's amazing. It's a wonderful gallery, and I'm sure that allows your work to continue to grow. I mean, you make objects, but are the installations, I've never seen like a very immersive installation of yours. Do you do things that are larger, or by installation you mean installing all your work in a show?
Well, I did do the second show I did with Elizabeth, the last show, she has two spaces, main room when you walk in, and then there's this large room that's a side gallery, and I had a installation again that I had installed several times but not in New York City, and it was called Yellow Wallpaper, based on the short stories called Yellow Wallpaper about a woman in the 1890s. She was sort of going mad. And it's about the space she inhabited in this old mansion. And so I used these photograph slides that projected. It was slide projections, sort of, again, back to my earlier work with the projections. And I had this tall tower-type structure with stairs and windows and mirrors embedded into it. And it's turned around slowly. And so as the projectors stayed straight, I'm using the old slide projectors that I had to buy online because they don't really, they're not around that much. And so that was in the other room, but it worked with the boxes. I was doing the boxes with the open, little dioramas that sort of matte. So sort of was a nice compliment. So that was a walk-in. And it's funny, I had mirrors around the wall, so you could walk around this, even though the tower, the stairs and everything were small scale. And I find I keep fantasizing about making, like, large walk-in environments with actual objects the same size, you know, regular scale. But I realize my talent or my obsession is do these small-scale illusions really well. And you mentioned dollhouses. When I was little, I did dollhouses. I just was always building these little things. And so it's just, I think, just what I like to do. So I don't think there'd be the magic or that uncanny feeling, doing it large-scale. I haven't quite figured that out. So... though I do have a piece at the Franklin Street subway station on the it's the 1 and 9 downtown platform, and they have these two big windows, like 14 feet each window, and behind the window I have these mirrors with photos, and I've created sort of some architectural structures. So that's the largest that I've done that's sort of out in the public, you know, as far as the public work. But it's not walk-in. You're still on the outside looking in. And that's just what I do well. And it's just what I just seem to like to do.
Susan, thanks so much for talking with us today. I really, really appreciate you.
And thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.